AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.
Hello, everyone. We're live in Arlington, Texas. It is Scotty Braun, Eric Kratz, and J.J. Cooper, and I'll intro our guest in just a second. This is Baseball America Hot Sheet, a very, very special edition, prospect pad style. We're going to talk to some of the top prospects in the sport that are going to be featured in the Futures game tomorrow. We're starting out hot with Trey Morgan joining us right now on the show. Trey, great to see you, man.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So first off, tell me what the first few hours of your experience here has been like, including the free swag.
Yeah, I mean, walking into this hotel and seeing how they decorated the place and all the people. I mean, CeCe Sabathia was sitting on the sofa just out there in the lobby, just hanging out. Yeah, I was like, man, that's so cool. But then walking, seeing all the prospects that, you know, you just see videos of all over social media, interacting with everybody, and just walked through, got some free gear, which is pretty awesome. All the pictures. So this is definitely surreal.
The other thing about it, though, is so your teammate,
right?
Your national championship teammate, he got a little news today, too. You know, like,
yeah.
So CeCe's sitting there, right. But you find out today, Paul Skenes, National League starter. How amazing is this that y'all are dogpiling just a couple weeks ago, a year ago?
Yeah.
And here he is. He's starting the All-Star game.
I mean, that's awesome for him. He's definitely living the dream right now. He's living it for sure.
But you're living it too. Because here, I mean, what is it like to know, hey, I'm going to the Futures game in your first full pro year?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a goal of mine going into the season. So being able to be here and have a spot in the game and in the skills competition after is pretty cool.
What are you doing in the skills competition? Because this is the only reason I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see the skills competition.
I mean, it's a little batting practice thing that I'm trying to go all out for sure.
You going to bunt?
I might bunt one, get a little feel for it, you know, just in case there's some butterflies.
Have they told you the parameters and like what you have to do, and have you been practicing?
I mean,
your team?
Man, I've seen, you know, all the stuff that all okay. The rounds, the three rounds, and I did have one little practice session back at home, you know, aiming my shots a little bit, and it went well. So trying to take that into the competition.
I like that.
So I got to ask you, this time, a little bit before this time last year,
right?
You're a key part, LSU in the national championship. You had a play. Right. You had a moment in that that will be part of College World Series history for the next 100 years.
Yeah.
Everyone watching that goes, wow, that's amazing. How did he do that?
Yeah.
But you're not the normal first baseman.
Right.
Was that – just something, you know, off the fly, or was that something that was just another play for you? A routine? Like, is that something you had practiced?
Yeah, I'd say that play particular, I've done probably thousands of times. I did thousands of times that year from, you know, the practices leading up to the season and every practice we had during the season. That's how we started our days. That's how we finished our days. So it's funny that our season was on the line for a play that we practice in the blistering heat thousands of times that at some points I didn't feel like doing, you know, like I'm drenched in sweat. I'm like, dude, they don't bunt. This is the SEC. Like, you know, right. Nobody bunts. So it's funny that, I mean, that play saved the season.
So when that happens, is there any moment of like, oh crap, they're coming to me? Or is it like, no, come to me?
Oh no. When that play is put on, I'm 100% expecting that ball to come right to me. If you rewatch it, if he swings there, I mean, I'm dead. Yeah, dead. I'm dead because I'm right.
They're just
on
carting
him.
You off and putting the next putting the next stud at first base. Like, right, hey, you were right. Good, but you're dead now.
Because I mean, by the time he bunted the ball, man, I was what 30 feet away from him, and it just came. He hit it right in the breadbasket. So catch, flip to home.
Catch, flip. Horizontal.
Oh yeah, all out, all out. One, I mean, for the theatrics for sure.
So this right now, last I checked, minor league batting lead, you know, you've had a great season so far.
He knows
but we got one of your teammates.
Yeah, right over there.
It's a little friendly. I imagine it's a little rivalry though, that like you got, you know, hey, it's either going to be, someone's got to wear the crown. It's either going to be you, Chandler Simpson, we may talk to in a couple minutes here. But how does it feel like when you have that, when you get your feet on the ground in pro ball by tough game? But right, when you're going 1-for-3, 2-for-4 every night, makes it a little easier, I would imagine, to adjust to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've dealt with a bunch of failure up to this point in my early career already. You know, me and Chandler were joking. There was a stretch not too long ago that I went, I think it was like 2-for-22 or something. And he's like, Trey, you're slipping. You know? You're falling down a little bit. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm not seeing it good. He was like, it's all right. I mean, tomorrow you're going to go 5-for-5. Like, that's just kind of how it goes. And we push each other.
And then you had a week.
And then I had a crazy week.
He had a month in a week. That wasn't even like, do you feel like that's – do you feel like you have to pinch yourself during those weeks, or do you feel like, no, this is who I am. Like, this is who I am. It's time to move me up. Like, I need a better lead. Not being conceited when you say that, because right, we always joke about that in the minor leagues. Like, what's the next league? And then when dudes right, like do what Paul Skeens is doing in the big leagues, it's like, when's Paul Skeens going to get called up?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He needs to get called up. How do you look at that when you're sitting there like having that week that you had? I wish I had the numbers in front of me of what you did. It was.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's what you prepare for, right? Like, it's what you do in batting practice. Like, you're not preparing to
get out.
You
don't even hit that good in batting practice.
That is true. I mean, like, I was finding some holes that we got to. There was one. I think it was my last at bat of that week that they had a tough little closer up there who was up to 100 with a slider. He only had two pitches, but one was 100. And he never threw the 100. So it was like, you're always expected 100. And he was throwing the slider. And then I got to a little 3-2 count, and he threw one 100, but it was like a ball. So I did like a little check swing, dribbled all the way to third base, got a single. And I was like, yeah, I'm living right. I'm okay. Living. I'm
well, living that's good right that you can right see right that. Now. It's good that you can see that. Do you feel like being in school and then going to the minor leagues, you feel like you were already prepared for the minor leagues?
I'd say it was definitely an advantage, dealing with, obviously, knowing how to deal with failure.
Deals with failure.
Right, but
somebody from Georgia State Southern right, Community right. College deals with failure.
Middle
Georgia College, there you go.
Yeah, but also Eastern, this was high pressure, high level.
I mean, it's playing.
I get it, but failure is failure.
That's true.
Failing in the College World Series is still failing. At low A, it's still right. Like an out is an out. You need to feel the same. Like, I came from Eastern Mennonite University, a Division III school.
Yeah.
So I know about failure. I played 8 years in the minor leagues.
Gotcha.
How much more does the SEC prepare you for the minor leagues? Because I don't think our game, Major League Baseball, sells their college football the same way the NFL sells.
Yeah.
Sells their minor league. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. I get what you're saying. And I'd say the pressure that is put on us, I mean, I can only speak from the
right,
SEC
right. No doubt.
Because that's all I know.
That's all you know.
Yeah. So I'd say when you're up there in a big spot and you're playing in front of, I'd say 11,000 on a right. Friday night, everybody's clapping and you swing through it and you strike out and you just hear the collective, oh. That's kind of like a rock bottom moment, but having to deal with that and then, oh, I still got to go play defense. Like,
right, that's, it's only the third.
Yeah, it's like it's only the third. They expected me to hit a grand slam just now,
yep.
But I struck out. how am I going to bounce back from that? And that's definitely what prepared me for the next level. Because, I mean, being able to fail in Omaha or at that stage in front of 10 to 13,000, I mean, in low A, you know, you play in front of like 20 people sometimes.
For sure.
So you strike out.
A class play because I didn't, you know.
Florida State League. Florida State League, one time we counted, there was 36 people in the game.
Right, right.
Florida State League used to be high A.
Okay.
And so you would just roast. It was a Florida roast league.
Yeah.
And the Gulf Coast, like, you're just cooking in the stands. And there's 36 people, including scouts and two of our pitchers that were holding the radar gun.
Back then.
You know, back then, like, charting all the pitches. But
that's where you learned math, right?
That's where you learned math.
I was like, ready? Boop, boop, boop. Well, we're gonna nicely let your teammate roll through here, too, as well. So Chandler's going to come through. Dude, awesome to have you on here.
What should we ask him?
Ask him. Help us out.
Be like, ask
He doesn't
him.
Look like he's somebody that needs to be like opened up. Like he, I think he's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's good. Just ask him, hit. It's like you steal all these bases, right? But it doesn't look like you get the best jumps.
Okay.
How do you steal all these bases? Yeah, ask him that. Ask him that. Ask him
that.
Because that's a joke. That's a joke I give him. I'm like, dude, if I got the jumps you got, I'd be out by like 30 feet.
That's
so
it.
You're just stealing because of your speed.
Right.
Okay. I like that.
That's really good. That's good. Hey, awesome to have you. Yeah, really appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. Have fun in the game tomorrow. The whole deal. Trey Morgan joining us from the Rays org. And we're going to get, his teammate Chandler Simpson coming up in just a minute. And we're staying here. We're staying here the whole way through. No commercials.
Just real.
I'm going to jump in because, again, we're going to see this play out the rest of the year. The thing we didn't get to a Trey is also first base. You normally talk about first base and you say, okay, I got plays first base, right?
Sure.
That's a shortstop who plays first base. You saw it in College World Series, but that's an eight. That is a guy who you can put him in the outfield. He can play the outfield. But why would you want to when you've got a guy who can make an impact over and over, you know, at first base?
I watched to jump in on that while we're getting Chandler in. I watched him take ground balls one time. You guys had a video that you put up, and it was him taking ground balls. And I think it was in Omaha. And just the way that he moves to get different balls, every ball he fielded was hip high. Always hip high to the point where he would charge hip high. He would step back. It was hip high. Like, it was incredible. And it's so, I think it's such an underrated skill because a good first baseman makes the rest of the infield elite.
How is that breakdown? Chandler Simpson from the Rays org joining us now. How was that breakdown of Trey Morgan? Did he nail it?
Yeah. He looked good. He always looked good.
Cause I was going to say, cause you also know, cause you used to be an infielder.
Yeah.
You're an outfielder now, but you've played, you know, I mean, you know what a first baseman can do for you.
Yeah, I got my fair share of infield time, so, yeah.
I mean, but how do you like outfield now? Because now you're a full-time outfielder. Does it feel comfortable yet, or is it still getting there?
I mean, I'm still learning. This is my second year, so just still trying to learn, ask questions, be open, have an open mind, because it's definitely a lot more I could, improve on doing. So, but it's definitely fun. I love being out there in the grass.
Yeah, because you get to work on your swing in between at bat. You're like,
Like
in the infield, you can't be doing that.
Right, no. You got to be locked in.
As a catcher, I always was so jealous of the outfielders. They're out there like this. They're like, working on whatever.
When we
have guys come on, we want to break them in with like a fun question. Your guy, he left, so he's not even going to be here for us to answer it.
He'll watch it later.
Trey Morgan was like, I said, what should we ask you? And he said, why don't you get good jumps when you're stealing? He said, you steal all these bases.
I think he cried a little. Like, I think he shed a tear, too. Yeah, he was getting emotional about it.
He was.
He would steal 80 if he had.
But
he would steal 10 if he
had. Right. Get double digits. So why he doesn't get good jumps?
He
said, you steal 90 bases, but you don't even get good jumps. Like, imagine if you got good
don't
jumps.
I get good jumps. I don't know what he's talking about.
Hey, I'm just saying.
We
what
wanted
he
to
said.
Get a good reply. If you have a rebuttal, that works. If you want to point something out about his game, we're here for it.
Why I don't get good jumps? Yeah, I have no answer. I feel I get good jumps.
Obviously, he's messing with you. Trey, like, what would be something you give him crap for?
I say, why doesn't he steal more bases?
Yeah. If he's this athletic first baseman, right, why isn't he?
You might as well get some bags too.
Tell him, get off this.
Come on, Trey, run.
Yeah, one time. Take a steal sign.
Exactly. Get a green light.
Get a green light.
You have a red light, don't worry about it. Just run.
They don't ever give you the red light, do they?
No.
Not one time. You haven't looked over and they're like 3-1, 3-2.
Well, I mean, I know to be smart in that situation, so I'll just let the hitter hit. But
you've never, you've never gotten a red light.
I'll never look over.
Oh, so. You don't even look over.
No, not really. they really tell me that I have a green light. So,
For life.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully. I mean, hey, you have that many bags.
I was gonna say, did you ever get a green light?
I had a green light a decent amount. If the guy was a 155 or higher, I could run. That's all I needed.
That sounds good. That's a good time.
Okay, that's a good time. Question. Mm-hmm. Is there a pitcher out there you're mm-hmm. like, okay, as fast as I am, mm-hmm. this guy's, you know, he's sliced up, he's 1-1, mm-hmm. he's mixing it up.
Right.
I'm just going to stay here. Is there anyone you're like, okay, you got me this time because you're that, you know, like, because they know. I mean, you're mm-hmm. standing on first. They're never right. like, oh, I'm going to go as, you know, as big as I can. I mean, right. they know they're all speeding up. But are there guys you're like, okay, I got to respect that this pitcher knows what he's doing, or is it something where I'm still going?
I can't think of a specific pitcher, but I mean, if the pitchers are like, when they get down to like 1-0s, 1-1s, maybe a 1-2, but I feel like 1-2-5 is like my time where I can get off, maybe depending on the catcher, if the catcher is not too good, but I feel like 1-2-5, but below that, yeah, I'm shutting it down.
Which is easier, stealing second or stealing third?
Stealing second is easier for me because it's really reactionary. It's just pick up his leg, go. When it's stealing third, it's like you got to have go off of a head look or head nod or you kind of got to get some momentum to go. You can't really just straight steal. So yeah, stealing second for sure.
Who's your guy that you grew up watching that you're like?
I loved watching Billy Hamilton and D. Gordon. I love watching them. Yeah.
Can you be better than them? I don't mean steal more bases. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the other stuff.
I feel like so. I mean, I continue to put the work in, stay disciplined, keep working hard. Yeah. I feel like I can do anything.
Those guys also didn't have what we're experiencing now. The rule changes.
That's why I said don't even worry about the stolen bases. Right. You're going to blow past
that. Yeah, the number's not the same. I'm sure you track, say, an Ellie De La Cruz right now and what he's mm-hmm. doing, right?
Yeah, 45. For the break, crazy.
Right?
On pace for 80? Yeah, that's going to be wild.
He's sitting here. Hey, Ellie, hold my 63 with your 45.
Hold my base.
Yeah. I will ask you that, though, because I was covering Billy when he was doing the minors. Mm-hmm. 155.
Yeah, I asked him about that, too.
How crazy is 155?
Yeah, that's insane. Especially without the rule changes. Like, I was like,
without the rules changes, can you even imagine that? Like, because, again, can you imagine what your body feels like doing that?
Yeah, I can't imagine. He had to be getting on bit. He had to be running every single time, every single game. Like, yeah, it's insane. I asked him about it. I was like, what was going on? He was just like, I was getting on, I was just running.
Oh,
just
crazy like, I mean, legs, Billy.
Right on, yeah.
He was getting it.
Yeah, he was getting to it.
But we don't want to just ask about stolen bases. Because mm-hmm. also, you're talking about Division I batting champ, Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. I've been doing the research. I've only can find one guy who's won a Division I batting title. I haven't found anyone who's done the minor league batting title, mm-hmm. which you're battling for this year. Mm-hmm. But there is one, Buster Posey, Division I, big league.
Really?
But no one in the minors in the last 40 years.
Okay.
At the plate, mm-hmm. I know people hear your speed and all. Again, I enjoy geeking out watching you how you hit. It's not just, oh, I'm laying down bunts and all. Mm-hmm. It's what's the game within the game when you're at the box? You know, when you're standing in the box, mm-hmm. what is it that's the difference between a good at-bat for you and one where you're like, oh, I got to do that better than that?
I say the difference between good at bat, bad at AB. Well, I mean, it is a chess match. Like, I mean, the bunt works to my advantage. Like, it gets the third baseman coming in, and that opens up that 5-6 hole for me. So, like, if he's playing back, I haven't shown the bunt or whatever, try to show a bunt, get him to come in, and then that opens that hole up bigger for me. So, just making sure I'm staying through the middle of the field, to the left side. I mean, that's where my money's at. So, like, rollovers, flyouts, all that stuff, that's probably the best negative in my opinion.
What is it like when you just hit a ball to the third baseman, hit a ball to the shortstop, mm-hmm. and you're standing on first a single. That's got to be the coolest. I mean, I got to imagine what that feels. It's got to be like, you know, you're in their head at that point. It's like the first inning you do that. Think about, what do I got to do? Like, I mean, I did everything right here. And that happens. I've seen it. That happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's pretty cool. Just that I have the ability to hit a ground ball, get a hit, just stay in their head, keep them guessing, have them all over the place so they don't know how to defend me, and just keep rocking with it.
Obviously, you're still far from the big leagues, but you're way closer than you were at the beginning of the season when you were in high A.
Right.
You look at a play like Dave Roberts stealing that base in 2004 with the season on the line.
Right.
End up going to win the – do you feel like you're in a headspace right now that you could go to the big leagues and steal a base? Because I ask that because we don't win the 2014 – ALCS AL American League Championship with the Royals or the World Series in 15 without guys like Terrence Gore.
Right.
I'm not saying you're Terrence Gore. I'm saying that a stolen base in the playoffs on any given night can put a ring on that thing.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to do that?
I feel like I am. I mean, that was a goal for me to come in this year. It was a little bit of talk about it last year. Like, I was getting up there in bags, and people were coming to me. It was like, you could be ready in the playoffs, get your name called. And then I end up going to the offsite when they was in the wild card. So going into this year, I wanted to be prepared to play up until October, November, where they call my phone at the end of the year. Well, definitely take care of my business during the season, but get my bags during the season, show that I can steal in big time situations in the minor leagues, and they can be like, okay, this can translate. Boom! At the end of the year, when the season over, they call my phone like, Chandler, we need you. Boom! I can go do it.
Okay, you're ready. Now, the last question, real quick. Next person on is, your roommate. Well, we got to ask Spencer because we
draft
did this.
Combine roommate, right?
Combine roommate.
Yeah, draft combine roommate. What we got to ask?
That's crazy,
him,
as y'all know that.
Does he snore?
Does he snore?
Is there something crazy we should ask him before he comes on here? Or you don't know him like that?
I don't know him like that, but maybe.
Anything crazy? Like, does he sleep with a teddy bear?
Yeah, I was about to say, would he.
Cool if he does. I slept with my bat.
Teddy bear. Does he sleep with a teddy bear? Yeah. Ask him that.
Ask him that?
Yeah, ask him that.
Okay. I like it.
Ask him that.
Well, great to have you on. Really appreciate it, Chandler. You. Have an absolute time
appreciate
at the game
y'all.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Good luck. Oh,
thank
you. And I would have thrown you out if I was still playing. I'm just saying.
I can't even. No.
Not with a pitcher. Not with a pitcher. That's
hey, if they give me a 1-2-5, I'm there. I got you. I might not even get up.
Good luck.
Just for
like
my knees.
You're going to have to take unnecessary circumstance to get me out. I mean, that's fine, but I'm still getting there safe, though.
Maybe a pitch out.
I got you.
Thank you, Chandler.
For sure. Appreciate it.
That's what I want. I was afraid of scaring Chandler with how much I've been geeking out over his season.
Yeah.
So they've thrown over to pick him off, right? Because he's fastest dude in baseball, right?
Right.
They've thrown over. One time they've been picked off this year. Four times when they tried to pick him off, they threw away. He got second. Twice he got second. Twice he got third. So when you try to pick Chandler Simpson off, you're more likely that he's going to end up standing on third than you're going to pick him off.
The numbers say it's not worth it.
Just
leave him alone.
Throw a strike.
And I found 77 times this year where he was standing on first with second open. I think the number was 53 of those times he was standing on second.
Wow.
He's, it's fun to watch.
You're speaking my language, JJ. I love speed, and I want more of it in the game, and more of it is coming, and that is the perfect example. Coming up next, we'll have Spencer Jones. You'll get some speed, but you'll also get some
speed
pop.
And power.
Yes, you will get that combination, and you will get size, which is a big topic of conversation, obviously, in the last few years, too. It doesn't matter what size you are. You can play wherever you want to play on the field.
Okay,
so here we go. We'll get Spencer ready in just a second. What's going on? We'll get you a mic so the world can hear you.
So people can hear that illustrious voice.
Yes.
Silky smooth, not just good looks. Silky smooth voice.
We've had SEC. We've had ACC. We've had SEC again.
Yes.
You know.
Whether you're playing or coaching a doubleheader or you're a fan in the stands, I don't need to tell you that we're sweating through yet another hot summer. And whether you're playing or watching, hydration is key. Liquid IV is extraordinary hydration for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. A single stick of Liquid IV delivers better hydration than water alone, with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. I love to hop on my bike and ride at the end of a workday. Before I do, I tear open a stick of Liquid IV, add it to my water bottle, and stir it up. It's that easy. 15 seconds, and you've unlocked better hydration. I'm currently partial to the sugar-free white peach, but there's a flavor for you, whether it's strawberry lemonade, raspberry melon, lemon lime, and it's easy. The sticks fit in your pocket. You can add flavor, electrolytes, vitamins, and nutrients wherever you go. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022, that's BA2022, at checkout. That's 20% off of your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com.
He's saying
we're getting the big schools.
He's saying that people can't go to the Futures game without going to
No, apparently not. Right.
Yeah. No, I get all it. About Vandy and LSU.
I get it,
is right now. So let's talk to Spencer Jones joining us in the New York Yankees system. Currently in Somerset, which is a spot we were at not too long ago. We spent some time there. I think it was before you got there. Actually, you know where a big interview was back then? We spoke to Ben Rice.
Adros. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have you been tracking Ben Rice's status?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's my favorite thing to do when I'm not at the field is checking up on him.
And so, what do you think?
He's been doing incredible, right? I think people are just starting to figure out the kind of ball player he's been and somebody that, you know, I've been lucky enough to play with the last 2 years and see it firsthand. And I'm glad everyone gets to see that now.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy because he's in the Yankee system, but I actually felt the same way. Like he wasn't getting hyped to the degree that his teammates were hyping him. Right?
Yeah. What's his name? Who was on? I forget what the pitcher
Chase
that was
Hampton.
On. Thank you.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, who's the player that's surprising you or like on impressed Somerset. You on Somerset? And he goes, Ben Rice is the greatest hitter I've ever seen.
Yeah, he did say that.
Literal quote. And I was like, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. Like the guy draws a lot of walks. He doesn't strike out. It's the ball hard. And it's like, it feels like every single game he does something.
So he's perfect.
We love him.
So he's a perfect man.
I don't want to say he's perfect, but he's the best player I've ever played with. Okay.
This is a Baseball America show. So JJ, we'll get to Spencer in a sec, but were you guys tracking his teammate?
We were. I mean, he's always been top 30, but we're light. We're light. Like he's like number 10 when he came up.
Okay.
So like, the profile, we all, you know, we get sucked in a little bit. I'll admit sometimes, like, guy with a little bit of a non-traditional profile at a bat-first position.
Yes.
And then, you know, but the great thing about it is
catcher.
He was a catcher, but now he's, you know, first base, too.
No, he plays first. He's a catcher.
But that was he's also an incredible catcher, too.
Exactly. Come on, JJ. You know, this is what I'm talking about.
See, but this is also, though, the thing that's awesome about it is, and we did talk about on the hot sheet show when Ben came up, it's cool when you see a guy get the opportunity. And then he takes it, grabs it.
Right away.
Know. Right. You know. And speaking of that, like this weekend, this is an opportunity.
Absolutely.
How fun is this for you?
This is really cool. It's special to be able to do it for a second time. I was here last year able to enjoy it. But I think doing it for the second time, it's like you can kind of relax a little bit and appreciate it for what it really is. Because the first time around, you don't really know what's going on. You're moving around, doing all these different things. And the second time, you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. You know what I mean? I get to meet a bunch of people, hang out, you know, reconnect and just, you know, enjoy the weekend.
So you're the vet here. So are you giving advice? Like our dudes who are like, oh, wow, I get a Wilson glove. You're like, yeah, I've got two of them. I get a bat. Do you talk to guys? Obviously not as arrogantly as I just said, but do you talk to guys about that? And you're like, hey guys, don't do all these pictures because they never show up anywhere. Like, do you have advice like that for guys?
One of my teammates, he was supposed to come out and he was asking me questions. I pretty much just told him to bring a bigger suitcase because he's going to get more backpacks than he thought he'd need.
That is what, when you are a 10-year vet in the show, that's what you're going to be imparting on guys. Like the hitting coach from the race for me, we played together in the minor leagues. He was 10 years older than me. He's like, don't ever change and shower right after the game. He's like, wear your clothes, your undershirt, so when we come and have ribs, we had ribs that night, you can eat your ribs and you can just wipe them on your shirt and throw them on your clip. Like,
exactly.
That's knowledge. A bigger suitcase? Your boy was going to bring some extra shoes. He was going to bring some extra jeans.
Right.
No, you're getting all that swag. It's good. I like that.
Absolutely.
So what was going through it last year? What was the moment that will stick with you from doing it last year?
I think it was just the experience of getting to meet people. You know what I mean? Like I was like in batting practice and it was like the first time I'd ever seen Dave Winfield. That was my mom's favorite player. right? Monster. She'd tell me stories about him playing all the time growing up. And then, you know, there I am. It's my turn next to hit, and Dave's standing right outside the cage. I was like, oh, this is the greatest moment ever, right? And so, you know, I was, you know, lucky enough to go say hi, and we were able to talk a little bit. And then, you know, fast forward to spring training, I run into him again, and we're able to pick up that conversation. So it's been great.
And you can look him in the eye. Not many guys can do that, but you
we
can
were
look
joking him. About that, yeah.
You know, which – how much is it an advantage as a hitter, leverage, levers – and how much of it is like, okay, that you have to make allowances, you have to make adjustments for the fact. I mean, you are what you are, right? But like being, you know, having long levers, being 6'7", like being that guy, is it like something where it's like, man, I wouldn't trade it for the world? Or it's like, you know, there's sometimes it'd be nice to, you know, to have a little bit smaller strike zone.
No, I mean, I wouldn't change anything about how I am or how I'm built, or, you know, I'm comfortable in my body. I feel like, players my size, there might be, you know, some disadvantages some people might see, but for me as a player, it's all I've ever known, and I just want to take advantage of my frame and, you know, what I can do on a baseball field.
Do you feel like when a hitting coach who is not large comes up to you and is like, hey, you should do this, you're like, like, it's not going to work out for me, you know? No. What I mean, do you have to filter that out? Because I think a lot of coaching is filtering out what doesn't work for Spencer Jones may work for somebody else.
Right. Well, as you know, you learn things along the way, it's kind of like the in one ear, out the other. But at the same time, you got to retain some of the information, right? So it's like you're going to learn something in every conversation. You're going to, you know, pick up things or pick up perspectives you haven't thought of before. And then you can just apply that to what you already know. So
it was 1 year ago. You're in Seattle for this. Here we are. We're in Texas. How are you a better player now? How are you like where you can look at it and say, this is something, you know, because you're always trying to improve. Mm-hmm. But here, it's a year later, and I know that I'm better at this. I've gotten better, whether it's physical, mental, or whatever. But what is it that you're like, I feel good about the fact that I've made progress in that past year?
Yeah, I feel like I'm just more comfortable with the routine and more comfortable with the process. You know, taking it all in the first year, it, like I said before, it kind of moves quickly, and you kind of go about doing things for the first time. And
well, I'm talking about your just where you are as a player now. Sorry.
Okay.
Like a year later, like as a hitter or as a fielder or whatever. Are you a better player now, do you feel like, and what is it that you're better at now than you were at this time last year?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm a much better all-around player. I feel like I've gotten a lot better, you know, reads in the outfield. My swing, as you know, it's continuing to develop, but at the same time, I feel like I'm putting myself in good positions to hit. And, you know, base running-wise, I feel like my aggressiveness has ticked up. I've, you know, learned a lot about base stealing in the last year, and it's something that I like applying. And, you know, it's overall been great. I feel like I've just evolved as a baseball player.
There's things always as a player that are outside of your control. And it's like, oh, control the controllables, all that stuff. When you hear a report in the offseason that you are not going to be traded for this X superstar, this Cy Young, this, do you gain confidence from that? A little bit. Like a little, like kind of like, yeah, like I got invited to this futures game and they think this much of me up in the league. Because that's where you want to get to. Like, they think that highly of you. How do you deal with that? Or how does that make you feel? And how do you deal with it?
Right. I mean, it's a good feeling to be held in that regard from, you know, the ownership standpoint and management, and that they, you know, that they believe in me. And I think that's the biggest thing. For me, I don't really, you know, take too much stock in it. Like, during the off season, obviously, I'm focused on what I can do and what I like, the work that's in front of me there. But I'm not, you know, on the Twitter boards worrying about this, that, or whatever. I'm more so focused on what I have to do. You know, it's cool to hear, and, you know, people can talk. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you got to get your work done.
Does it, as a hitter, your background, I mean, it wouldn't have been a surprise 10 years ago. We've been talking, it's like, hey, we're going to see you at the future game, but you have been pitching. Like, that was a possibility. Does it help you as a hitter that you, I mean, like, you had that time, you understand the mentality also of how difficult it is and everything that's involved with being a pitcher?
I wouldn't say that it's given me, well, I'm trying to find the best way to describe it. I didn't feel like I was as advanced as a pitcher as, you know, I would have liked to believe or others would have liked to believe. But, you know, I just being in a clubhouse with a lot of, you know, these great pitchers that I do play with, understand the work that they put in, how committed they are to, you know, what they do every single day. It's something that, you know, I try and pick their brains, as, you know, every hitter does, talking to pitchers, trying to learn different things. And a lot of my friends in the off season, a majority of them are pitchers. So I just get to sit there and learn as much as possible. And, you know, it's a learning opportunity every day. So
played with a lot of guys in the minor leagues who were pitchers, the opposite, and they'd watch us hit, and we're hitting 230, 220, and they'd be leaning back in the bullpen. I could do this. Now, you said you weren't as advanced, but I saw what you did. You came from a pitching factory at Vanderbilt. Is there a part of you that's like, I could go out there and get three outs in this inning, and this guy can't even hit the broadside of a barn right now?
Well, I mean, pitchers are so good now. You know what I mean? They've got all the pitch shapes. They know exactly what they're doing. They're all dialed in.
Yeah, but it's about throwing strikes.
Right. I wasn't very good at that.
Okay, so that was good. So
yeah, I wasn't very good at
that
one.
Bad by me. I should have done more.
Yeah, you were projectable.
Projectable. I got you. Okay. That's fair. So that doesn't apply then.
Okay. We'll do it to you now. We talked about, like, this time last year, Ben Rice was the guy. It's like, I'll put it to you, give it to you, kind of two options. Who's the guy that you play with? Who's the teammate? Who's the guy you play with, spring training or whatever, that we're not talking about enough? Or the flip side of that, if you want to, is who's the pitcher you faced that's like, man, if I never have to see that dude again, I'll be happy.
Right. I mean, this guy's burst on the scene this year is Augustin Ramirez. He's had an incredible season. You know, he's a catcher, hits the ball hard everywhere he plays. We knew that last year. He came up and played with us in Hudson Valley, absolutely mashed in high A, got himself up to double A pretty quick. And then, you know, to start this year, he's hitting the ball out of the yard more than anybody. So he's one of those guys that I feel like you guys are going to watch hit for a long time.
That's awesome. Yankees just produce catchers. That's what they do. I mean, there's four catchers that were in the lineup. One was playing third. Mm-hmm. Ben Rice was playing first. Someone else was playing. Did Augustin come up last year to Somerset at all?
Mm-hmm. The end of the year.
I think he had just gotten there when we were there. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, this dude, like, I think he was catching that night. And the other catcher was DHing.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, I think we have three or four catchers right now in Somerset, too. All great hitters. So
that's like the Padres with shortstops.
Padres with shortstops.
Yeah. That's a big league team with shortstops. Sorry, you can't make it. Make the Padres. You have to be a shortstop.
Yeah.
You have to be a shortstop.
The Reds had that with which position?
They had shortstops, too.
They had shortstops. Yeah. McClain,
Ellie. Certain orgs. Like they just.
Before that, they were. Yeah, there was a lot of dudes, but.
Well, Spencer, awesome to have you here.
I appreciate
the time. Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back. And
again,
you get to enjoy it.
Of course.
Have a good time. Enjoy the skills competition as well.
A little added layer.
I don't think I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm going to enjoy it. That's for sure. I'm going to be.
You're going to be top stepping it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bunting. I don't know if I'll do that.
Never.
He's going to get fired.
They've never done that. They've never done it. This is the first year. They're trying it out.
I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I want to see you hit dingers.
See me in batting practice.
Oh, I'm batting practice. Yeah. Batting practice
is going to
be fun.
Yeah.
I'm batting practice. Especially here.
You and Devinson De Los Santos. I want to see you. That's what I'm looking forward to.
There you go.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Spencer. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, we'll keep rolling here on BA Hot Sheet Prospect Pad. We're in Arlington. We're talking to top prospects that you're going to see in the Futures game tomorrow. It's Eric Kratz, it's Scotty Braun, it's JJ Cooper. I am monitoring the chat, so if you do have questions, they don't just have to be for the players that we speak to. They can be questions about the draft. They can be questions about the Futures game, the whole deal, okay? I'll kind of go dealer's choice here, JJ. Would you like to spend some time going over mock draft 6.0 for BA or the Futures game?
Let's talk Futures game first, because we're going to do mock draft. I think we still have Carlos around. We've got to bring him
on
and talk about
that. We'll bring in a friend for that part. All right, so let's do a little comprehensive preview on the Futures game and what you're most excited about.
So, okay, I want to get Eric's opinion on this, because I've realized, I think this is my 12th Futures game in a row now, which is, you know, Jonathan Mayo's been to all but one. I give Mayo credit. Mayo's been to all but one now. But, okay. When I think of them, a lot of times the thing that's more than anything is BP. I remember Carlos Correa going matching Miguel Sano swing for swing. And that was when Sano was thought to be like the 80 power, 80 raw, 80 raw. And Carlos Correa was like, that dude's hitting it to the same part of the bark that, you know, that was like eye-opening for me. And then it's like Joey Gallo putting on positively the greatest, you know, display that I will ever see as a BP. Am I overthinking that, you know, or again, like that's just to me, like it's almost like a home run derby.
You're not overthinking it. That is when he said he's not in, when Spencer said he's not in the home run derby. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll watch BP. And like, because in a game, we're always about comparing people. Mm-hmm. And I remember last year, you were like, when we were talking about the draft stuff, you were like, well, you know, we don't want to put comparisons on everybody. That's what we do in baseball. Mm-hmm. We put comparisons on people. And when you have guys that are all equal age, but completely, as we look at the different guys.
Chandler Simpson, Spencer Jones, back to back. Like, they're both great baseball players. They're very different.
Completely different body type. And when you put them all in the same field, you're like, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, I had your example. I had Correa as a 60 power. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was wrong on Sano. Maybe Sano's he's more 80, like so a 75. But wait a minute, he's hitting it exactly. Is he an 80? You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So it's like it's a that is the best way is to get all these guys to the same place. It doesn't mean if you're not here, you're not making the big leagues. It just means that it's easy. It's great to compare them. And that's the time to do it.
And the other thing I'll say about it is it's not just great to compare them, but it's also great to see how different guys – some guys, they open up here. And other guys, it's like, okay, this is pretty big for them, which may help them down the road. Hey, good to see you.
How are you, dude?
Good to see you. Good to see you, too.
Oh, Marcella Meyer. Now, last time I saw him, I was working for the Red Sox. He was just drafted, really? and he hadn't grown into his head yet. He hadn't lifted any. Your microphone's like up in your eye.
Yeah.
That's all right. Here, we're
doing it on the fly.
We're doing it on the fly.
Kratz.
Okay, some minor leagues.
Yeah.
There we go. And now you have filled in
a little bit
to your head.
It's not like.
I mean, it's not mine, but I notice. I notice.
Yeah.
What are you? 7'5"
What are you at?
I knew it.
You're 7'5"
7'5" Okay. We're twins.
Yeah.
And I knew
I'm 7'5" with the hair though. With no hair, I'm probably 7.5".
You saying I'm bald?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you serious? Yes. I just got it really tight here. You don't know what's underneath here. There's surprises.
It's like marker.
I have to before you nerd out on your Marcella Meyer time, okay? He's giddy. He's giddy because he's got Marcella Meyer time. I worked for the Red Sox for like 3 seconds. And I gave a speech at their camp, whatever, they got drafted. I spoke about how, like, you have to, whatever, give it your best. And, like,
yeah.
I spoke from somebody that just ended playing. And you see what he's doing now, like, with the eye contact. And, like, you really impressed me with how confident you were and yet engaged with the people around you in the sense of, your teammates, in the sense of, like, listening to your coaches. Which I was so impressed with being the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
You don't always see that. Normally it's like guys are disengaged and they're like, you know. And to me, I told B.A., Abe's at that time.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if he's good at playing baseball or not, but he is going to be a good leader of the Red Sox minor leaguers coming up. And that's what I kind of talked about was like, hitch your trailer to dudes that want to win for the Red Sox. Or want to be big leaguers because everybody else sucks. And I commend you, and I've watched you,
appreciate you.
Since
it means
then.
A lot.
And so that's what impressed me about Marcella.
That's the best intro ever.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, it's hard to follow.
Where we go from there?
Man, yeah. Let's go. Well, as like batting average, extra stuff like that.
Here's where I'm going to go with it. How much more fun is this year for you? I mean, because last year you gutted through it. But you were kind of having to wear it a little bit because you weren't 100% and you were still trying to do it.
Yeah.
How much more fun is it when you can show what you can do because you're physically closer. No one's ever 100%, but you're closer to 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Obviously last year I battled with some injuries. I was young. I probably should have said something to the trainers, but I think it's a lesson learned. I think, in every situation you can learn from it. And during that time, I really got to, learn about myself, learn about my body. So going into this year, I worked hard in the offseason, and then, knock on wood, I've been healthy ever since. But it's been great being able to be on the field. That's the biggest thing for me, just being on the field every single day and playing. I love the game so much that, I just want to be out there. So that's kind of what happened last year with me, playing with injury. But it's awesome. The team we have, the coaching staff we have in AA is amazing.
You guys are loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I mean, that's got to be where you look at it. You're on teams like, hey, not everyone, never is, but a lot of us, we're going to be hopefully playing together, really short left field, really tall one, kind of green, in a couple of years, or maybe a year. But when you've got a team like that, you kind of want to have these teams where it's like y'all are all together. And it's like, okay, you're in this journey together. I just got to imagine that's got to be – it's got to even add to it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I say it all the time. It feels like we're like a travel ball team that's just playing for 8 months because we have so much fun together on and off the field. We push each other extremely hard. And, you know, just the way we play the game so hard. We see that, you know, kind of the way the Red Sox have been playing lately, running the bases extremely hard. It's kind of, it's extremely exciting to watch. And we've kind of adopted that in Double A. And, you know, just we say dominate out the box. And that's kind of what we've been doing. And ever since then, it's just been really fun baseball.
Do you get pissed off at people who don't fall in line? Or do you don't get pissed off?
I think most of us fall in line pretty well. I think we're all pretty bought in. We all want to be big leaguers, so it's pretty easy.
I have a Red Sox question.
No, go ahead.
Do you see what they're doing?
Oh, he just said, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, it was not only not expected what we're seeing this year from the Red Sox, but the pitching program has completely changed. I know that's not your department, but like, do you guys feel that at all?
Obviously I'm not with the big league squad, but I think it all,
but comes on the up, development side yeah, too, yeah, you know, yeah. Craig Breslow comes in and he's like, hey, yeah, we're going to do things differently.
I think it all comes down to belief. I think the players in the big league club believe from the start. And I think it's shown up, you know, in the way they've been playing. They've been playing the game extremely hard. They do the little things right. And I think it's translated into wins.
Does the mood, you're in Double A, but does the mood of a Double A team depend a little bit also on how the big league club, because again, you are all Red Sox, even if you're not wearing Boston on the front right now. Does it, like, is everything a little, you know, everyone a little bit, is it more, I would imagine it's more how, you know, how you guys, how Portland's doing. But does it, like, when you see them doing that, does it make it everything, you know, a little bit cooler?
Of course. I mean, like I said, we see the big league team, we see the way that they've been playing the game, how hard they ran out of the box. And we're like, okay, when we get to the big leagues, we better be doing that too. Let's start doing it now. And we've been doing it, and it's been a great time. Even like when you get out and you run hard out of the box, like, you feel good. So like, we've kind of been implementing that, and yeah, it's been great ever since.
I use this example. Who were we talking? We talked to Chandler Simpson. I was talking about guys that they're playing with now. I always go back to my 2014 Royals team, 2015, and the Pirates teams of 2009 and 2010. Those dudes came up together and were kept together to win. How much do you guys talk about winning in the minor leagues? Because my opinion is, you win in the minor leagues together, you win in the big leagues together. I don't think it's by chance. I know that helps.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it definitely helps. And we do talk about it a lot. Obviously, it gets a little bit tricky with like the development and stuff, but for us, when we're on the field, like, our one goal is to compete and to win. We're not really worried about development things. For us, especially me personally, I feel like the way I was taught and raised how to play the game, if you play to win the game, you're going to do the right things and you're going to help the team win.
I'm going to put this a little bit on tee for it, because I think I know the answer, but okay, if you're a casual fan, even a casual fan knows, okay, who Marcelo Meyer is, knows who Kyle Teal is, knows who Roman Anthony is. But you guys aren't just, I mean, there's more than that.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that is like, wait, why aren't you talking about so-and-so on that team?
Yeah, I think you know who I'm going to say.
I think I know what you're going to say. There's, but before, I didn't want to take that one away, because he's still emerging on the national
scene. Yeah, before him, obviously there's, I think from the first player to the last player on our roster, we're extremely talented. And
yeah,
there's there's a lot of players who help our team win, but obviously Christian Campbell has been tearing it up.
He's a stud.
He's ridiculous. I mean, this was the first time I see him play, and he's been hitting 400 for literally 2 months now. And we're like, is this ever going to stop?
Seriously, 400?
He's like 410. And he hits the ball like 110 every time he gets up to bat. It's one of the most impressive things I've seen. He's a ridiculously good defender as well, super athletic. So, yeah, we have like a little joke in the clubhouse. We call him Barry Bonds.
Just cause, what position does he play?
Everywhere.
Does he play shortstop?
Yeah, he plays shortstop
too.
Hey.
Because I had this discussion with BA. I had this discussion with not BA, not Baseball America, Abe's, Brian Abraham. I said, good organizations platoon everybody. Great organizations have a guy like Marcelo Meyer at shortstop. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure. I think obviously being versatile helps. you know, being able to play more than one position.
Who?
The team.
Okay.
So, for example, a guy like Campbell, he can play a lot of positions, right? So if you need him to play at third, you know he's going to play the solid third. If you need him in center field, he's going to play solid center. So it's just it's a good skill set to have. Not everyone has it. And for a player like him to have it, I think it's only going to help him.
What about a player like Marcelo Meyer?
I mean, obviously, I want to be a shortstop.
But I think you should be. And I say that because so many teams talk about, oh, well, you know, this team is good. Okay, tell me how many championships they have. Okay, well, this team's really good. When was the last time they won a World Series? To me, if you don't have a catcher, a shortstop, and a center fielder, I'm not even counting you in the chance to win a World Series. And to me, as a player, that's what you should focus on. So if Marcelo Meyer becomes some second, some short,
yeah.
Well, this is neat. He played third on a Thursday. Like,
yeah.
To me, I feel like that's hurting you, which if something hurts you, it hurts the org's chance of winning a World Series.
I guess that makes sense too. Obviously, catcher, shortstop, center field, premium positions.
Yep.
So for me as a shortstop, my role is to dominate shortstop, right? Like my biggest thing is I want to make sure that I'm playing clean shortstop for the team, trying to help the team win. Obviously, you don't want to get in there, play a premium position and be booting ball. So yeah, I think what you are saying makes sense. But I think there's two sides of it, you know. But
I get it.
Me personally, I've played short my whole career. I've played like two innings at third base.
Because you're a big league shortstop.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, so for me, I'm just focused on getting as best as possible as I can at shortstop so I could help the team win when I get there.
You're also coming from the world of what was your best winning baseball? You're playing with Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain,
by the way. Sick team.
Sick team.
Like
Salvi was catching.
Sick team.
Like you talk about if you show me a World Series team that they were mid at any of those positions, I would love to hear it. Bring it on. Like, give me your all-mid team.
Well, you know, last year the Rangers only had Corey Seager.
Wilmer Flores played shortstop.
On a World Series winning team.
I'm not on a World Series team. You said World Series team.
He was starting shortstop on the Mets.
You don't want to go to the World Series.
I know. I agree.
I have two National League – I mean, I have two championship league championship rings. They suck. Nothing compared.
You don't bring them out. They're not here. You didn't bring them with you, did you?
I didn't bring them here.
No.
I don't bring any of my rings anywhere. They're sitting in the.
Yeah, but these are the kind of events sometimes where, like, you know, someone will show up. They've got the
Stop.
World Series ring.
Don't,
yeah, on a show. It's the only time. Like, you know, when Big Poppy's on a show,
well,
he'll bring out
guy.
The ring. Yeah.
He'll bring out.
That Royals team was probably one of my favorite teams I've ever seen play baseball.
And it should be. It should have been. I mean, we just had our 10-year anniversary. You were probably nine when we were winning.
That's like, prime baseball watching time.
That's prime baseball watching. Like, I was 13 in 1993 when the Phillies went to the World Series. So that was, like, my team. So for you to say that, like, it is cool. And that team was legit. Like, legit,
I mean,
legit.
You grew up as a
watch.
Kid, like, loving the game, loving big leaguers, and, like, just to see the way that, like, you guys played the game was, like, extremely fun to watch.
I always say them. I just had the best seat in the house. I sat on the front row. I was like, watch it. Like, I'll be like JJ at BP tomorrow. Just that's what I did, but I was on
BP.
The team. I'm like,
future game BP is the best.
But you were like the don't talk about the game on the field, but the explanation of what you said about him when you're having a speech to a team, when you're going through something to a team and you're pointing out, hey, that's the guy I want. Talking to everyone else.
Yeah,
that's why you talk for 3 hours on a show all day. Anyway,
right.
I did want to ask you one other thing about last year. What did you learn from that? Because again, I'm just going to go on a limb, knowing I don't know your career back to when you were eight, but I'm guessing there haven't been a whole lot of years like again. You were having to kind of cut through it.
Yeah, that's the first year.
What did you learn from it?
Yeah, I mean the biggest thing, like on the field wise, I learned how to deal with failure. That's really the first time in my life where I failed on a baseball field to that level. Like, I had gone tournaments where I didn't play well, but for me to fail for, like, what it felt like for the whole season, and, you know, work on stuff, and I'll just get out of it. And then off the field, I learned how to take care of my body. You know, I learned what I need to do before the game to get ready. I'm out with these guys because before that too I never really got hurt. Before the games I'd barely stretch. I'd go out there and I was 19 And that's not really – you can't sustain that throughout a 162-game season. So, yeah, I think it really helped me a lot. I went down to Florida. I was there back and forth all off season, and just really got to learn about myself.
That's one thing at all. You're part of the new wave of minor leagues, like the off season, okay. Not just an expectation, but there's also an availability that, like, hey.
That's so awesome.
We're, I mean, that was not the case.
I was on a progressive, like, forward-thinking organization with the Blue Jays, and they offered a little bit of that. To me, if you're an organization and you don't offer a place for your players to get better in the offseason, you have that whole facility. If you don't offer that, you're losing out because it helps with injuries. It helps with development. It just keeps your, like, hey, Marcella, you onto this. Oh, okay. Well, how was that? And it's like you make those relationships.
I think a big thing with that too. It's awesome for players that like live in like the Northeast or like somewhere where it's super cold, where it's snowing all off season, and they get to go to Florida and it's 90 degrees, and you have all the access to whatever you want, all the trainers, you know, all the equipment, traject cage, all that stuff. So yeah, I think it really does make players better being down there.
I gotta ask about that. You just mentioned it. Yeah. I love the tech too.
Yeah.
What is that like? So you're facing like, is it really, does it feel like you're facing a, you know, a big league pitcher if they put a big league pitcher up there with the traject?
To me, it's harder. Like it's harder to hit off that thing than a major league pitcher, which is only going to make the game easier. Because at the end of the day, it's still a machine and it's still like whatever it is, pixels of whatever a guy throwing at you. And also that machine takes into consideration like, the player's best pitch. So, like, let's say
they don't make mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, let's say Hauk, right? Nasty slider. If I put Hauk and I want to face Hauk on that machine, it's going to be his best slider every time.
Every single time.
Every single time. That so, you're only getting better doing that. And they do have a trajectory down in Florida. They have one in AAA. They don't have one in AA. So, hopefully, when I get to AAA, I'm going to take advantage of it as much as I can.
That's awesome.
It's a really cool thing. And they have a lot of cool tech. They put in that new bio cage.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, ridiculous all the things they have nowadays. It's like, but even like, I'm like hitting the cage, I'm like, how do they like even do this?
I'm guessing that you literally probably played on team for it's like, we got one outdoor cage, you know.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think if we had anybody that didn't have an indoor cage. Oh, wait. The White Sox in the big leagues have an outdoor cage at Comiskey.
No way.
Yeah, true story. But maybe the home team has something.
But
no, I mean, so that's the thing that kind of jumps out. It's like you now, to me, your off season is as much about what your season's going to be as your season. It's not. There is no off season now, right? It's basically you're a professional baseball player. That's the job.
I think it just depends on the type of person you are. I think for me personally, I definitely need the break after the season. Like I need to let my body regroup. I got to, you know, enjoy life for a little bit before I start, you know, swinging again. I think you only have so many swings in you as a human being. So there's no way in hell I'm going to be swinging the bat 162 days out of the year.
I don't know how Ichiro did it. Ichiro seriously would take off one day and go back and hit. But again, like, it's okay that you're not Ichiro. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys who are just, like, just baseball rats. Like, for example, Kyle Teal. Funny story. We were in Hartford yesterday, and most of us are thinking, like, oh, all-star break, we're going home. Like, we're going to enjoy the 4 days off, be with our family, be with our friends, chillax, not think about baseball. And Teal comes up to me. He's like, dude, do you think that, like, they let me go to the facility down in Florida and hit the traject for 3 days? And I'm like, bro. That's the last thing I was thinking about right now. And like, he's thinking about going down to Florida during the All-Star break and hanging off the traject. Like, yeah, some people just like don't stop and their body can handle it, and others need the break.
And that's good for them. Like, even the time off, like you said, like, oh, you're just a professional baseball player. When you truly commit to being a big leaguer, or your hope is to be a big leaguer, everything, all the decisions you make revolve around that. And you don't realize that until you quit. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like,
what do I do now?
Yeah, and that's why some people have a tough time transitioning. But even you being like, bro, I need a dump. Like, I need a brain dump. And the more money you get, you'll start going to cooler places to brain dump.
Yeah.
And doing cooler things. But, like, that's part of training.
Yeah.
If you don't step back, you're going to burn out. Not saying that Kyle Teal is going to burn out. Yeah. Saying that's good for him, which may not be good for
you. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, you played with Bregman, right?
Yeah, I mean, for a sec.
Right, but that
– I mean, same thing. He was 2 in the morning. He had to have –
2 in the morning.
Pedroia
people
was
have
that
to
guy.
Kick him out kind of thing. Yeah.
Pedroia
yeah.
was that guy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the I'm more of like a – when I'm at the top, I'm 1%. And then when I'm not there, I do not want to think about baseball because then I feel like I'm just going to get tired. And then when I'm at the baseball field, I'm going to be thinking of other things.
Don't ever live near the field. Yeah. That's how I was. Like, yeah. I wanted to be like Kyle Teal is. I couldn't do it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, and don't ever aspire to have my career. But I'm saying, like, for everybody, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and you go, because, and 1 year I lived close to the field and I could see the field. I'm like, we're moving. I can't do this.
Yeah. I remember like, I see the field. Our high A setup was, we were literally like 2 seconds away from our field. Like, I'd leave the clubhouse 2 seconds. Like, people could even see me walk into my like apartment.
Well, that's no good either.
Yeah. Like, you're too close to the field. Like, you can't separate the two.
Can you sign?
Yeah.
I'm brushing my teeth. Why are you leaning in my window?
Hey.
Can you sign?
Yeah, we actually had someone break in. Blaze Jordan was my roommate at the time. We had someone break into our apartment. It's still like my baseball glove.
How's Blaze doing?
He's good.
Good?
He's doing well, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Golly. That swing is
stealing a glove. Sick. Like, come on.
Yeah. I know. That's we had like ridiculous. PlayStation 5s there too.
They just took the glove.
He took the glove.
Oh,
so
my God.
Like, when somebody breaks in and steals from a big leaguer or from, you know, a prospect, what are you expecting? Like, you think Marcel Meyer just has like signed things sitting around? Like, oh,
great.
I'm
sign this just in case
if we break in, he signed his foul territory mug. Yeah. Let's take it. Yeah, it's one of one.
Yeah, we had like the most basic minor league fridge, like maybe like a fruit and like a
right.
water and like a PS5 setup. That's pretty much it.
He walks in like, ah, oh, damn.
There's like not much jewelry still other than the PS5.
Like, ah, too bad.
Yeah.
Before we had to like,
last one.
I know you said you're into the food and you're like getting your body right. You're playing in Portland. I would be remiss if I wouldn't ask, how many sea biscuits have you eaten? Because they sell sea biscuits, which are essentially renamed Chip Witches, ice cream, chocolate chip cookies. And we used to, in the bullpen, we used to take the BP balls because you hit the other team's BP balls. And we'd take them and stash them in the bullpen. And then kids would come by, can I have a ball? And we'd be like, can we get a sea biscuit? And we'd throw them a ball up and they'd drop us a
no
sea
way.
Biscuit.
Wow.
So have you partaken in the sea biscuits? Because I know they're in the home clubhouse in Portland.
Too many.
Too many?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to chew yourself sometimes, and those things are really good.
Homer sea biscuit. That would be my
advice. That's a good
advice. One. That's every good. Homer you get.
Usually, it's usually like when I have off, I'll eat a sea biscuit.
Okay,
that's that fair. Way I'm just like in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
and
that
like,
makes sense.
Yeah,
that's for my dad. That's
fine. Yeah, you're under your day.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean Portland as a city though, it's the food there is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, we're super spoiled as a minor league team to be in Portland.
Sleeper. I mean, besides
never
the
been.
Fact that it sucks in April.
Yeah,
but cold. It's cold. It blows in. Snow just like dumps your meat anyway, but we got to let you go.
Yeah, a lot of lobster rolls.
Yeah. That you can do. Yeah.
Hey, whoopie pies.
Hey, yeah, well,
awesome
I'm not
talking
a fan,
to you.
But yeah.
Not a fan of whoopie pies?
Nah, too
That's
sweet.
So Cali of you. You just went down on my list. Put him lower on the VA list.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just because noodles
Thank
are
you.
Pies.
Great to have you. Appreciate Thank it. You, yeah, that was great. Really great conversation, of course, with Marcelo Meyer from the Boston Red Sox, one of their top prospects.
He has put on 30 pounds, at least.
And it's not the sea biscuits.
It's not the sea biscuits.
It's not the lobster rolls.
It was the bicep curls.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Eating dumbbells.
He's
oh
doing
gosh.
It right.
And that's kind of what you're – I mean, again, that's the cool thing about projection is you see a guy in high school and you're like, what is he going to be?
That I feel like that one was pretty easy.
Yeah, that was
He should have been 1-1.
You know.
He should have been 1-1. Everybody who missed on him – shame on you.
What was the top three in that draft
so that
before
was Waller,
him?
Meyer went 4. Help, Los, you're here.
Uh-oh, perfect. Yeah. Someone, no, rescue us.
Rescue us. Jordan Lawler went 1.
No, Jordan Lawler went
1. So Meyer went 4. Marcelo went 4.
In
I'm blanking
2021.
Now. 2021.
That would have been, no, that was Henry Davis.
Yeah,
Henry Davis,
the catcher, went 1.
Yeah, they're
Jackson
right.
Jackson Joe, no, not Jackson Joe. Am I mixing classes? It was Lawler, House.
Joe went 3. And then, so yeah. Oh, Job, I'll say.
Okay,
if you
want to nice. Yeah.
You know, pitcher versus position
was,
player. But I can see the argument position player.
Shortstop that can play in the big league for 15 years.
You know.
Anyway, I could be wrong. I'm not JJ.
No, I'm saying like, hey, you know, like we always battle this because like Jackson Jobe's the best pitching prospect in baseball. Paul Skeens was. He was our number one. I thought we may never put another guy, another pitcher number one. We did in season by putting Skeens number one, which I feel pretty good about now, the fact that he's starting the
night. Oh, look at this.
That was easy. He was literally in the majors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying, though, is the same thing. It is a battle. Like, even when we're talking about the draft coming up here, you take an arm, there's about seven more ways that it could go. You know, we've seen it. We've seen time and time again. There are guys taking the first round as pitchers that, especially late in the first round, and then you turn around 4 years later and you realize they've thrown 20 innings. Ethan Hankins.
Yep.
Ethan Hankins, I think, has like 80 innings and he's a six-year pro. Like, it happens. Daniel Espino.
Espino was the other one I was going to say.
Espino, when he's healthy, one of the best pitchers you'll see in minor league baseball. But he's now been – he hadn't pitched in 2 years now.
Is it harder now because it used to be, wow, Joel Zumaya. I suppose before you, but Joel Zumaya throws 100. I saw him hit 101. Top 10. Like, yeah. Is it harder now because – There's tons of people on Twitter that don't have jobs that throw 100 now.
Yeah, I think I think everyone's just throwing harder now, too. I was going through our high school pitchers. Like, every player on our list is touching 96, 97. It's like everyone transfer velocity. Everyone's throwing hard. If you're touching 91, 92 in high school these days, it feels like you don't throw hard.
Is he hurt?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
a position player.
That guy's going to college. Nowadays, that guy's going to college.
I think there are still some teams that are going to take a chance. Well, the problem, too, is I think the biggest thing is they're just – there's less time available for you in minor league baseball. You have to move quicker. You have to develop quicker. There's no spots for those projection players. They took away the lower levels. You don't have time.
We're going to get into the Mock 6.0. One more quick thing I noticed. I'm not going to say any specifics, but last night there was a social media account that has a pretty good following that posted a famous child of a celebrity human, and they were like, and their kid's throwing 86 junior year in high school. They're like, look out or something. And obviously the comments got flooded. They're like, you're not paying attention to how the game has evolved. Like, it was. That's all I'm going to say. It was just
a very vague conversation, but I understand.
Do you understand? I saw it, totally. Yeah, it kind of went viral for the.
Yeah, you're trying caption. To be vague. You're rightfully. You're not trying to dog.
I'm not
kid.
Trying to. Yeah, it's no, not about no, that. No. It's just the way that it was phrased made it like already throwing 86 junior year of high school. I'm like,
that's like you hope to maybe get a college offer.
That is,
like, if you're a pitcher, that's when the position
literally, like,
are
I mean, I'm in Orlando a lot of the time with AJ. And I think that's probably the average of what those kids are seeing, like maybe even below, you know, like for just anybody that they're facing.
We're in Texas here. I promise you this. We're here in Texas, top level high school baseball in Texas. I mean, I've got a friend who's got a kid who's, you know, a high school student now. He's a pitcher. And he's like, there are schools in our area where. You're not starting if you're not touched to 90.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a nine.
That's how it is in Florida.
Yeah. Well, you're coaching high school, so you see this stuff.
In the Northeast.
It's different. I know.
A little different. Yeah, a little different. Yeah.
All right, let's
dive
in.
That's where the real players.
Well, Peter Flaherty would agree with you. He loves those gritty Northeastern grinders. Yes, sir.
Yes, he does.
There's a spot for them. Projectable. Okay, so let's go over the 6.0 mock drafts over on baseballamerica.com. Carlos Collazo hustling along with JJ and the rest of the crew there. So, give us the lowdown of anything that's changed, anything that stands out, and then people can dive in deeper to the specifics.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for change or clarity at the top, it really feels like the last 3 weeks or so I've been saying the same stuff. Like, no one knows what Cleveland's doing. For me, we have Weatherholt there still. It feels like Weatherholt, Bazana, Condon are the most likely at one now. The expectation is that Cleveland, a few hours maybe before they make the pick, will send out some offers and see. I don't think they're going to make their decision until draft day. That's the expectation for a lot of teams picking behind them. The one big thing I think in this mock that illustrates kind of what's happening now is there are teams picking in the 20s, 25 to 30, who are really concerned that they're not going to get college hitters that they like. And they're really concerned about high school hitters, high school pitchers, college pitchers, all the other demographics, all the other profiles have more question marks. So I think in the middle of the first round, we're going to see a lot of college hitters go. Teams are going to be jumping those profiles. I would expect this to be an extremely, extremely heavy college hitter first round.
Can I ask a high-end question first? And this might apply, obviously, to you as well, JJ. Like, what goes down between now and the start of the draft, and even going back a couple weeks? Like, Cleveland's known they have the number one pick for, 6 months now?
Yeah.
Some people look at it and they're like, can you just figure it out right now? You're still deciding?
you don't have leverage 6 months ago.
It has to hit a deadline.
I think, yeah, now there are some teams that have expressed frustration. When I'm having calls, you're like, yeah, I wish they would just kind of figure out who they're taking, let the teams behind you know, so kind of everyone can be more prepared. I think Cleveland is a team that, like you said, leverage. It's a leverage game. The money doesn't really get talked about until very late in the process. Advisors don't want to talk about it until late in the process. Teams don't want to tip their hand on who they might prefer on their board. So it's a lot of leverage games. And again, for Cleveland, if you really do view the top three players in the class, like I could see Condon, Bazzano, Weatherholt really being in a similar tier. And if you're trying to maximize the talent you can get in this draft, if you think Weatherholt and Bazzano are the same caliber of player, one is willing to take $1 million less, maybe that changes the factors for you, depending on how you view the depth of the class. Like if you think you can get a talented player, like just to throw a name out there, like a William Schmidt, who we view as a first round high school pitcher, if you think you can save money, get a guy you like at one that you think is maybe the top talent in the class and get a better player with your second pick, whereas maybe if you don't do that under slot at one, you don't get that player. I mean, just comparing your total bonus pool, it's more than just comparing one player to the other player considering at one. It's all of the ripple effects after that, I think.
The thing that jumps out to me about it is about why the team's weight is not that there's not emotion in some way on both sides. If you're picking one or one, two or whatever, you want to get that pick right, and it's really important. But you do this every year. The players who are in consideration for 1-1, they only get to do this one time in their life. And so if you said we're going to have 6 weeks to talk it over, to analyze it, well, then it's kind of even on both sides, right? I'm going to have come to a decision about whether I'm willing to take $1 million less or whatever. But it's going to be a long thought out decision.
Yeah.
If I hold that off and I say, you're going to have 10 minutes to make this decision, that's a lot tougher on the player's side because you only get to do this once. The team drafts every year. The player has a life-changing decision to make, and it's 10 minutes. And that leverage flips to the team because at the end of the day, for one, you want to go 1-1. That's one thing. But for two, to me, as I look at it from the outside, having never had an opportunity to have any of the decision like this, but the other part of it is at the end of the day, it's like, look, you'll probably get more, but I can't guarantee it. Are you going to say no to that? That's where that leverage flips, is that final few minutes where it's like you've got to make a really quick decision, not you get to consider it for a long time.
Obviously, that bothers me on the team side. I'm sure he's going to feel the same way. Cleveland's never had the number one pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, first time.
Okay, like I get how there's depth to drafts.
Yeah.
But you better nail this. You've never done this before. And it's not for people to understand. You only get a certain amount of money, right, for your bonus pool that you're able to spend within the draft. But Kratz, like, I'm looking. Who is the best player? Are we 500K with this guy versus this guy? Like, you can't, for all of that work and all of the staff we have, we can't delineate between player X and player Y. We're like, they both probably have a 50% chance of being a superstar. Like, that is garbage to me.
Yeah,
Henry Davis, Marcelo Meyer, you just nailed it. Like, I mean, look at this a couple years later, and it's like, no one would make that decision that way now. Like, just to be, nothing against Henry Davis, but if you had the choice right now, you know, like.
They saved money with Henry, right?
$2 million.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
So and I can look probably through who else they picked.
It ended up being like 2 point.
Little over $2 million,
yeah,
right?
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's the large example.
It doesn't mean it's a lot of money. It's more money.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the point.
You'll take the point.
I'll take the point.
But that's what he's saying. And that is,
and ultimately, they could do that on draft day. They could take whoever they think is number one, just take him, pay him. That could be what it is. The fact that I don't know that, or teams behind them don't know that, doesn't mean that they're going to, like, if we find out on signing day, Cleveland's handing out the biggest bonus in the class, like, ultimately, they're just going to take the best player. We'll have to see what that is. And that'll be after the draft, too. Like, we're not going to know immediately, but.
And I'm completely saying this only from my interaction with the Cleveland organization. Mm. It was the Indians at the time. Now it's the Guardians, but it's the same people.
Yeah.
If there's an organization that I would want to see pick first because of how they treat people and not doing that like backdoor dealing stuff, it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're going to treat the person right, and they're going to take the best person and player out there because that's how they treat everybody, from coaches to players to players they release to the cook. down in Arizona.
And I know Cleveland's process on the amateur side. They have value the in-person meetings, the makeup interviews. So that could be a factor too. You're doing a lot of these meetings late in the process. And all your evaluations are in. You kind of know what your scouts think about the player. You know your grades that you have on the player, what you expect them to do on the field. But I think the meetings, when you're meeting with GMs, when you're meeting with scouting directors, those can really be important. And we've heard, even in the last few weeks or so, players have really moved themselves up boards and down boards in some cases just based on those meetings.
Wow. Yep. That's a good
chatter. I've seen that formula, and it's a really good formula. Yeah. It's very weighted on personality for
and
Cleveland.
We'll get into that. We'll have many hours on Sunday night to discuss it. Not Carlos. You can see him on MLB Network on the draft. We have the all version of the draft that we'll have.
The real version. Sorry, Carlos.
Fair, fair.
It's cool. You got a nice smile.
JJ will be great.
JJ's going to be awesome.
They get the face.
They get the beauty.
Yeah.
You guys get the brains.
The hair looks great.
You seem like some brawn, too. So
there's some brawn. Yeah, Carlos is sneaky taller than you think, too, right? Probably
like you?
When you've seen him on.
Is he taller than you?
How tall are you?
Almost 6'2".
I think I'm 6'2", so we're close.
Yeah.
Guys, we need to get our – we get someone else coming on here.
Yeah.
But we need –
back
you
to
need
back.
To have what your height is.
6'2".
It's not. It's thank 6'2". You. See, same
6'2".
Chest.
It's
that's
6'2",
why you're.
And I'm 6'4".
That's why you're
base,
going on MLB
6'6".
Network. Yeah. That's why you're going on MLB Network.
See,
JJ's
I'm old
here.
Enough that I used to be one, and now I'm another.
See,
that gravity sucks.
See,
it brings you down. All right, Carlos. Thank you. Good
yes,
to
sir.
See you. Check out all of Carlos's coverage. Obviously, follow him on Twitter. You know the deal. If you're watching this right now, go check out baseballamerica.com, see what's going on, and then we're going to do one more interview before we say goodbye. You got to actually help me with this one if you got the pronunciation down for Ben. We might just ask him when we bring him on, one of the Royals' top prospects, but we'll get some
super
help.
Easy.
What's
Eric
up, Ben?
Kratz.
I was just going to say, I was like, hey, let's get some help.
Yeah,
he was asking me, and I'm like, I think I know, but.
Let's buy a vowel.
Yeah.
Where is your
Ben Kuruna joining
origin.
Us in one sec. Wait, wait, hold up. Let's get his mic set up so the world can hear him.
That would have made it easier for us.
There we go. Now
part
he's
check.
Locked and loaded.
Part that's check. That's why. So, but nobody Kuruna. Says it right.
We've had a lot Kuruna. Of position players.
Kuruna.
Kuruna. It's not actually hard.
Kuruna.
DRN together, you know, kind of is a different look.
Man, that has been butchered.
Yeah, oh, every
What's
time.
What's the worst you've heard?
Come on.
Well, a lot of people think like the R and the N makes an M, so like Kudma always gets it because they don't
just
separate
reading
it.
As a...
So
that means they need glasses.
It's exactly. Well, it's kind of funny because now whenever I start, my favorite part of a start day is I sit there and wait for the announcer to read off the lineups. And when we get to the pitcher, I'm like, all right, here it comes. I just want to hear what he's going to say. I know it's not going to be right, but I'd like to hear.
Has anybody just gone and pitching for Ben?
So I've gotten Ben K a couple of times.
Wow.
They'll be like, and now pitching Ben K. And they go, Ben K. And I'm like,
that's lazy.
Okay, I'm calling that out.
That's lazy.
You're not a reliever. I get it. And it's like, okay. You know, like,
so
I didn't
expect Royals prospect starting. Like
not getting ambushed by the starter.
Yeah.
But no, so it's funny. I laugh at it now because I don't think anybody's gotten it right unless you're in the family. So now I just enjoy it. See how bad they can butcher it.
Dude,
and
they will get it right.
One day.
Kuruna.
No. No.
I got it.
No.
No.
Yeah.
And trust me, as you continue to pitch, people get there's tougher names than yours even.
Yeah,
and people
imagine.
Figure it out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, let's talk about what's going on here. How's it been? Right? I think you're our last guest of the day.
Okay.
So
sweet.
So wrap up the event for us. What was the day like for you to obviously get
you
in
just
here?
Yeah, I just got got here about an hour now. So I flew out I was supposed to fly out at 11, got a little delay in Iowa, but it's a 2-hour flight, so it was nice and easy. Got here, got up, checked in, grabbed all my things, kind of making the rounds, but it's been good. Seen some familiar faces walking throughout here, catching up with some of the guys I haven't in a while, so it's been good.
Okay, and I know that the hotels and all have improved, but this is not a minor league hotel.
Right? No, this is
really?
This is a big league hotel.
Yeah.
No, but it's a... Surprisingly, we stay in some pretty nice ones. It more depends on the city you stay, I think, is kind of the biggest factor. Like in the league I'm in right now, we go to South Bend, which is right by Notre Dame. Cedar Rapids, we're downtown. So like the Doubletree and the A-Loft, we stay in super nice.
That's
there.
That's not bad. Yeah.
But then you get some towns out like Beloit, Wisconsin, where you're out there, the Country Inn and Suites right by some local diners. So
is what it used to be. It used to be post-game. Some Waffle House,
yep,
some Perkins.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It hadn't changed that much. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Good.
No, but they feed them now. But they didn't do that.
We do get pre and post game, but it's ironic because I'm the same way you are. It's like those small little town hotels where you just crank the AC to 65. You got the morning coffee and the pitchers. That's right up my alley.
You need that single room unit. You don't want the whole hotel unit. Mm-hmm. You want the single room. When it goes only to 65, you're like, trash. This isn't,
yep, exactly.
You want the one that's
here.
It's got to be.
This is 67 here. I'm like,
got to keep going.
You're trying
down.
To go down. Sorry, this is what when you live the high life that you live, yeah. AJ. You need to be living in a.
No, I'm normally in the. Like I said, if I get a spring hill, I'm usually doing that.
If you walk into your room from the outside, you know you're going to sleep good.
Yep, exactly.
You might get jumped in the middle of the night in your
but
room.
But you're sleeping good. At
but
least
you're sleeping there. Good on the nights. You're not getting kidnapped.
Wow. Tell them what to expect when he gets up to the show one day in the org.
The big leagues is the best.
Yeah, but specifically,
you are
the Royals.
What do you mean about the Royals?
No, I was just saying he's going to get to see you. You're an alum.
You're a Royals alum.
Oh, you mean
that's
in
the team that
you said in New York?
No,
I don't know. In KC.
In KC.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a show. It's a show org.
Oh yeah.
It's a show like the way they treat you. Don't have a family yet, mm-hmm. but
absolutely
the way they treat you. The way they treat you like people.
Mm-hmm.
KC is one of my favorite organizations, and maybe I'll be there for some of the alumni nights.
Yes. I mean.
Not alumni. I just go to celebrate with the guys that all won the game.
Absolutely.
And I was there to hang out.
You were part of it.
I was there to hang out.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's part of royalty. They will talk about that Kansas City team.
We talk about that team
until you are dead and buried.
Yes.
And beyond.
Yes. And beyond, I was about to say, and after. It's a huge accomplishment. So
with your kind of path, with your development, where do you feel like, again, this is obviously a great validation. It's like, hey, you're going to the Futures game. But where do you feel like where you are now compared to when you were an amateur? How are you a better pitcher now?
A lot of different ways. I would say the one thing I learned is how underrated experience is and how much experience helps a guy. And it kind of sounds corny, but like you do start to realize when you start getting years under your belt how much easier things become to kind of pick apart and understand. And I think that was my biggest thing. Like, my stuff has been pretty consistent from day one to now. Obviously, the pitchability's gotten better, I think, is one big thing, is you kind of understand how to read hitter swings, and throughout a game you make adjustments, which, coming out of high school, you just throw it down the middle, and here you go, hit it if you want, versus you get into pro ball, and everybody got, they're all used to seeing 95. So I think the pitchability aspect is obviously taking a big jump, and then I think a little bit of the maturation process on being able to kind of manage the highs and lows and the skids has been huge this year, because now everything becomes more consistent outing to outing, and the days that you don't have your best stuff are a lot better days than years prior when you don't have your stuff. You give up eight. Now it's like you might not have it, but you get your six innings. You only give up two that day. So there's been a lot of jumps in areas, but, just seeing the right progression, like you said, kind of a little piece.
So what is it that you can do now that means instead of you give up eight, you give up two?
I think just being able to understand yourself, where you are that day, what's working, where you're missing, what your stuff is doing, has been my biggest piece. Because it used to be like, if you go out and you can't throw something for strikes, it's like, what do I do now? You kind of lost, versus like now it's, where am I missing with my fastball? Where can I locate it? Where am I missing with my changeup? Do I need to look at, change my eyesight? Same with slider. So kind of being able to do that pitch to pitch, batter to batter, and inning to inning, it helps you kind of dial it back in and figure out how you're going to get guys out that day. Cause every day is different on how you're going to get guys out. But being able to do that now is kind of the biggest difference compared to day one, where it's like, if it's not working, you're like, well, what do I do now?
How are you honest with yourself? Because if you're here at the prospect game, futures game, you're better than most players. The league you play in, isn't everybody as good as you? Mm. How can you be honest with yourself in those situations where you're like, I just punch that dude out? It was an okay pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the sooner you can be honest with yourself and have self-reflection, and I'm the first person, that's how I've always been, just very honest with myself. Like, if I punch a dude out on a heater down the middle, I'll be the first one to admit that that's not going to play at the next level, right? So we got to get back and hit a spot. It does sometimes. So, but that's just how I kind of approach it in terms of kind of always progressing and trying to get better and perfect the craft for a bit. But when you can kind of continue to develop and not be satisfied is kind of the way I look at it, versus, if you're throwing everything down the middle and you think you're going to be a Hall of Famer, it's like you get satisfied, you get settled, and that's when all of a sudden things kind of start going like this versus always just wanting to progress and get better. It's kind of the mentality I take towards it.
One last question I want to ask you because we're having fun with this one. Who's the teammate on your team that we're not talking enough about? Who's the guy that's on your team that you're like, you know, that guy's a stud?
Well, so I'll give a shout out. So Brett Squires, he is hurt. He just got hurt, unfortunately. So he was an undrafted free agent with us last year. First baseman out of Oklahoma. He's going to be legit. He's a dude. He was
undrafted.
Undrafted free agent. He was hitting 316 with 9 pumps in his second full
Midwest
year.
Midwest League is not a fun place
and
to hit.
It's a lot of pitcher-friendly ballparks there.
West Michigan's wonderful if you're a pitcher.
Exactly. It's great if you're a pitcher. So, but he's a dude that you kind of talk about like work ethic and just kind of how he carries himself and the kind of person that he is. He's one of those guys that you kind of always rely on. You never have to turn your head and say, is he doing the right things? So I've gotten close with him. He's a really good friend of mine now, but he's a dude that you watch him play and he's one of those guys that just sounds different coming off his bat compared to some other guys where you're like, that's juice. So
that's a great sleeper call. I mean, I know it's not for him, but for the world.
He wrote it down. I like
that.
There
you go. Yeah. Really good.
I always get in trouble for taking too long here, but yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Did you grow up and live in Overland Park your whole life?
No. So I was born in Shawnee Mission and we lived in Overland Park. Moved to Dallas for 11 years, so I'm right back in the old stomping grounds here.
Okay.
Victoria.
For 11 years, what years did you live in Dallas?
So I was 4 months old until I started middle school, whatever age that was.
Were you in Kansas? Were you in Overland Park in 14 and 15?
I was. I was back. So I was
So we were neighbors. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
We
were on 159th in Quivira, in between Quivira and Schweitzer. Right by Mills Farm.
Where's the turf fields?
Well, here, I'm going to let you. You can ask this because we got to get off. The we're getting booted.
There we go. That's
we're
fine. We'll booted. Figure it out.
Yeah. You can continue this. Awesome. Awesome
Thank
to have
guys.
You on. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Appreciate
Pleasure.
You.
Pleasure.
Good luck. Have fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you see the look of fear on mine when you said JJ's going to help? I'm the worst pronouncer in the world. And you said JJ could help us on this. And I was just like, oh, no. Please don't ask me.
Now I've learned my lesson.
Now you've learned.
I will take that responsibility
for a 5-hour
back.
Hour show.
Yes. Oh, for the draft show.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah, we'll get that going. All right. Well, let's say bye to the people that have been watching on YouTube. Flip it over this way.
Everybody.
There we go.
Everybody.
Thanks, everyone that's been watching on YouTube. We appreciate it. JJ, you want to shout out anyone with the BA fam for putting all this together?
This
is an awesome setup for prospects.
This is basically the thing that jumps out to me about this is this is one of those things that being in it, it's always I get stressed about it. It's like you want it to be right. You want it to be right for the players coming and all that. And then it happens and you're like, man, this is fun.
Yeah.
How about awesome. And by the way, awesome. Thanks. I mean, not okay, no offense, Scott, but Eric, thank you. Because having someone here who players can look at and honestly be like, you've done it. You know what I'm going through. And only in some cases, like, I watched you as a kid, you know, like, because, you know, that's awesome. It really does add something to it.
We'll get somebody else next time. We'll get Todd because
he'll
be like, oh, I know who that
thanks,
is.
Thanks, Eric, for showing up. But, yes, thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. Thanks for watching Prospect Pad. It's Hot Sheet. We have Sunday draft coverage, 7 o'clock.
A lot.
Yes, a lot of it.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.